Welcome back to yet another special edition of the Nationwide Podcast. In this episode, we are going back once again to the topic of elections, but we're taking it to the people who actually went out in the field, writing the articles, videos, and different topics around the 2026 elections. And we have our very own journalists slash reporters here with us. Joining me on my right, I have
Josue Ramirez Nelson.
And also
Tanisha Rocchio.
And of course, my lovely co-host
Ashida Joseph.
So let's get right into how elections was for us in the perspective of journalists. So guys, tell me about it. The highs, the lows, the in-between of general elections. You can start us off.
For me, this will be my first time actually covering elections doing print, because as you guys know, I was at Starcom Network, and that's radio, and radio is different from print newspaper. So I did the 2022 elections at that point in time. It was during COVID. So I had a little, the first week or so before I caught COVID, and then I was not able to do the meetings and stuff. Mm-hmm. But for me this time, I had the, you know, I was on the ground more so. And it was not a really bad experience coming from radio into print. The late nights, that was a challenge. Covering these meetings, 12, 1 o'clock, you got to be writing stories. That was a challenge for me. But I think it's important that, you know, we have young people like ourselves on the ground and getting the perspective of the people, you know, the challenges that they're facing and bringing that to light, cost of living, you know, crime, and highlighting it, because that's what people want addressed. So for me, that was a sense of, you know, belonging, and, you know, you're happy that, you know, you're getting to hear the people and help them in a, yes, in a way. So that was good. For me, election day,
oh yeah.
When the editor-in-chief called me into her room, I was like, Tanisha, we want you on the ground before the bell ring to start the election. I was like, I gotta get about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Or three.
Well, I just stayed long to get ready. So if you want, and then they asked for me to do stand-ups. Mm-hmm. So that means I got to, you know,
glamour
myself and whatnot. So I have to be up real early. And if you know me, you know that I am not a morning person. So that was a challenge too in itself, getting up really early to get on the ground before the actual everything started. But once I got the hang of it, everything went smooth.
How about you? Well, for me, this is my first general election. I did have some experience covering the by-election for St. James North. And like you, that I was there at the start when the bell was rung. So that was a 4 o'clock wake up for me. And then I'm out early in the morning. And that was an interesting experience. But of course, this is ramped up to 11, because there I just had that morning shift. But election day, you're there from the start. Your day starts at 6 a.m. And the day ended, my day ended at 3 a.m. the next day.
Oh,
and that was from 6 o'clock. We went to the different polling stations throughout St. James. I was back there again. We spoke to people. We got a view of what it was like on the day with the people heading to the polls, whatever challenges they had. And then you head back and then you have to write that story. And then I was able to go back home and get an hour of rest before you're back out again and you're deep into the night with all the bacchanal, with the boxes coming in, the counting. And I will say that it was like a beautiful chaos. It's grueling to be up that long, but I think I've had a lot of experience being a semi-insomnia. And I sleep late, I wake up early. It's probably bad for my health. It's gonna catch up to me in a few years, but for now, I'm in my element. So it's exciting to be in the thick of it and being a part of recorded history.
Yeah, for for sure it felt similar as well. It was exciting. Waking up wasn't really hard for me personally, but it was the night time because after we did the morning part and then I came back home, I got a nap. When the editor, he calls me. What did he call me about? Yes, he called me about the story that I was writing to caption the picture. So he actually woke me up from my nap and I was like, So I wrote the story, sent it in, and then we were back then on the road for the nighttime edition. Night for me was particularly hard because I was like, how long does it take to just count, what, 10 boxes or so? So it was like, oh, this is taking long. And it was at night. And anybody that knows St. Philip at night, biting, absolutely biting. And for me, I know some of the others, they were actually inside the rooms of the different counting stations. But for us, we were just outside in a tent. The wind was freezing. No chairs, nothing. It was hard, but I had walked with a jacket and also a chair, so that helped out with the process. What was it for you?
Well, for me, it was a mixture of crazy / thrilling type vibe. The morning part was okay because I was working with Rico, so you know when you work with Rico, you just get through, okay, you just have a blast. But then coming on to the nighttime, I had to work by myself, and it wasn't too bad. The only thing was the waiting period for the boxes, because our first boxes came around 7:50 and they only started being counted at 9:30 and the first result came out at 10:35. The only thing I had to hold me up was a plus and some snacks that I bought the day before. But other than that, it was okay. The only crazy thing is that when I got home after 1 o'clock. So when I tried to send through my story, it took about 30 minutes to send through the story. Oh, and the editing team was calling off my phone. I was just like, oh gosh, I'm trying, like literally, I'm trying. So when the story went off, the pictures took another 30 minutes to send through. But other than that, it was okay. And I love that experience as well.
That part of it too is because, you know, I got back home at 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. And then when you get back home, you have to actually write the election story.
Listen to me. No, I did not even know, because in my mind, I'm like, all right, I can just get a little nap because I get home about 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I can get a little nap. And then when I get up in the morning, I can write the story and send it. Mm-hmm. Oh, my phone rang out 4 o'clock in the morning. You do the story.
Start your day with the Nation News ePaper. Enjoy the accessibility and new upgrades of the Nation News ePaper Daily, whether on our mobile app or Nation News website. For added convenience, use our new audio read feature, which reads the newspaper aloud, or look in the archives for any publications you may have missed. Get your news, your time, your way with the Nation News ePaper and enjoy our new upgrades.
I can go and type it now quick fast. I did not know that, you know, like at that point in time they wanted the story in. And that was hard, like being up the whole day, the whole night, and then having to
put it.
Unlike the rest of y'all, I got a nap in the evening. I was up on election morning from 4 o'clock, like home. Went to vote and stayed up until I had to go back to the counting center. So I did not get any sleep. I don't know, I guess I was just excited. Honestly, I tried to lie down and sleep and I was like, nah, I can't sleep.
Just like you were saying, like the adrenaline. Yeah. I couldn't get sleep. I get like an hour and then my body just back up again. I eat and then I had to get back down to the because I did the city of Bridgetown. Mm-hmm. So I had to go back down there at Bethel. At Bethel 4, I think I got there about 5:30. Yeah.
Yeah, that was for me, I was at Convermere and had like the most accommodating returning officer, Carlisle Murray. So shout out to Mr. Murray. You're a great one. No, he was fantastic because going into it, especially the new process, there's a lot of things about election that was new. It was the spot meetings, it was nomination day. Going into it, I was like, what do you even do on nomination day? And when I went to Compromere, I got to my station early. This is on nomination day. I introduced myself to him. He said, well, you're new, you're a reporter. And we spoke, he gave me all the information. He said, well, such and such is coming at this time. And I was grateful that on the night, you know, nerves still inside me. I'm excited, I'm looking forward to it, but it's still a lot of caution that you approach, because election is something where you don't want to mess up. Because, you know, we're counting everything. You got to be accurate. The numbers that you hear had to be correct. And really is reassuring to know that you have a returning officer that's working with you and keeping you updated on everything when the bosses are coming, when they're starting to count. So he made the process just fantastic.
Okay, so how do you guys balance your usual work hours and also covering the night meetings? Because I know that was a crazy time for everybody.
There was no balance. I think it was the first conversation I had about that. I started work at like 9 o'clock. And then it was like I was informed that we were having a spot meeting later that night. And I was like, you mean tonight? And it was at the IV. And we went to the IV and it was one of the very, very first ones. And I went completely unprepared. In a sense, I went unprepared in that I had my notepad and I had my recorder.
Yeah.
But I had no jacket. Ooh. I had no chair. I don't know why I thought that there'd be chairs there in an open pasture.
Like me.
Yeah. And then I was just standing the whole time. And I saw people, the other reporters came and they had chairs sitting down. And then they had jackets. Because I was just doing that whole spot meeting just like this.
Oh.
And if I had to record, I would just go and go back again. And it was just freezing. And I said, like, I remember back in the summers when the night was hot.
Mm-hmm.
I would like that to come back. Because this is awful. It was like winter. So that part of it, I was completely unprepared. But then obviously you leave the spot meeting sometimes like 10, 11. And then you have work the next day.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of zombified looks on my face. I was well acquainted with sleep in the days after it was over. Let's just say that.
For me, I was prepared. I like posting because I know how it is. So I went on my chair. And I was still thankful too that the editors allowed me to cover spot meetings that was close.
Yes.
Where I live.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have to travel too far off. But for me, it was good. And then we only had like 2 or 3 persons to cover any night. And then we were sharing it with other reporters too as well. So for me, that was good. That was another good thing. Because before, I used to have to cover everybody.
The entire thing.
Wow. And most of the times, you know, the prime minister will either be speaking last or the opposition leader will be speaking last. So, you know, you got to wait till that everybody speaks.
Yeah.
So I actually like that they said, okay, well, we do 3, the other person do 3, and go from there. So that was easier for me. But I'm still trying to recover. Because
we all are.
My body, fago.
Yep.
I'm real tired still. But, you know, it's all for good.
How about you, dear?
Honestly, it wasn't too difficult for me. I do think that the editors did try their best to not overwork us too much. I also think too, what the political parties can do for the next elections is have a schedule beforehand. Because a lot of the times they would announce that they were having a spot meeting on the same day. Which then puts us as a journalist under pressure. So, you know, just having a schedule beforehand to help out the media team a bit more would be so helpful. But it wasn't really bad for me per se. My team leader was Carvo, and I think he was really helpful in making sure that the team knew exactly what to look for, the points to know, that kind of stuff, how to prepare. So the balance wasn't really too bad for me. And of course, I was on the East team and I live in St. Philip. So most of the meetings occurred in St. Philip. So that was really good for me. I also think too, I had an advantage because there weren't as much spot meetings in St. Philip in comparison to persons in St. Michael. My condolences to all the sport leaders were in St. Michael. So my condolences to y'all, but it was a bit easier for me on the East team personally.
I like these meetings though. I like to go. Even though I was not working sometimes, I think, because Ashida has a couple of London by Saints Me Slay Road. I just sent me pastor just to listen to hear what they got to say. I was not working, but I took the time out just to go and listen and, you know, take in some of the things that they're saying and see, you know, if they're going to stick by what they're promising the people of Barbados.
Yeah, I think that also, like, writing the stories was very interesting to me, because I was very, I was worried how I would manage from, you know, starting night and then you go deep into the night. Mm-hmm. But once I went there, I was very engaged. Mm-hmm. And what they were saying, there were some very, there were points, like the Freehill Black Rock meeting that I went to, which was specifically for Ryan Walters.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that had one of the better speeches that I covered. Because it was very passionate.
Mm-hmm.
And their ideas that they mentioned when they were well made points.
Mm-hmm.
at many corners. So writing that I found was very engaging. I enjoyed those stories a lot. So it's even like times when I went home and I got right down to it, because I was so charged up and fresh. Mm-hmm. from that that high of writing it. And I do think that it also helped to improve on your writing skills and also your reporting. When you work on something like that, where, like, you have to be attentive and then you've got to like bring it out fast and on point. You got to know what it's about, because you're covering so many people.
Right, correct.
Yeah.
Well, I like covering the spot meetings at night too. The only issue was when you do a full day's work, you now have to go to a meeting. It's kind of be tired, so it's hard to focus. But the first meeting I went to the light causeway, I forgot to bring a chair, because I don't know why I thought they would have provided chairs. And I had to be standing for 3 hours, and trust me, that was a lot on my back. So I learned the next time around to walk with a chair, a bag, a jacket, just to come, an umbrella as well, to be fully prepared. What I like about the meetings is the different ideas that all the different candidates and parties brought. The only thing I didn't really like is the fact that sometimes they focus on what the other person, you know, did or didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that going forward, you know, you should really focus on what you're going to do going forward and not focus on how you follow up with this person, not focus on what the person didn't do, because it takes away from what the people who are listening to you perceive. So I guess that was the only issue for me. But other than that, there were some great ideas. And, you know, as everybody, you know, hopes that they come to fruition. And, you know, just focus on the real issues and not about what the other person did or didn't do. Just focus on what you're going to do going forward.
Because I think, like, you get a lot of that with the, I call it the bacchanal. You know, it's part of it. It's different, though, when you're covering it as a reporter. Because I remember before following it, you would... I never liked the mudslinging in politics, right? I prefer that you talk to me, not as in... Don't give me the sensational angle.
Right.
Talk to me like a person has knowledge, and you're actually trying to work out a solution.
Yeah.
But some things you get into, you know, the bacchanal, you know, you follow the manifesto, and somebody has these gabs that anybody... Not going to go into them.
Yeah.
So I guess if I was covering them without the reporter's perspective, and I guess the reporter's duty, I probably would be cackling out at them. But at the moment, I was honestly just kind of like shaking my head. I was like,
it's hard.
This is not what I'm furthermore, I said, I'm not writing that.
But that's the thing too.
I'm not focusing on that.
What delivery?
Right. Give me the solutions. Give me the issues. I'm not really interested in the personal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I get that that's part of the strategy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to make the other person as an appealing person to put the ball on. But I found that at points, this was at moments I found was a clean campaign. And sometimes you would find salient points. I do feel like a lot of times there was a lot of focus on what was done wrong.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, I was waiting for these solutions. And those solutions didn't always come. But I found that for the most part, it was clean. But it was that different perspective, like viewing it from a journalist, I very much was at the point of like, I'm here looking to see what you're going to say that is relevant to what the people are crying out for. I don't know if you guys found that they stuck to those real pressing issues a lot during the... Did you find that they did?
That's what concerning people mind the cost of it, especially cost of living.
The roads and roads. Crime. Yeah. Also, some of the political campaign songs were very catchy. It was hard not to, you had to be neutral.
Because, and I think there was an allegation raised that some of these songs were AI. Another question I was like, so they actually got the person to go in the booth and change this song, or did they do that? And if it was AI, disapproving, man, disapprove. Yeah. But I thought some of them were catchy. I was a bit annoyed because I like some of the songs, and I'm there in my neutral colored black shirt. I can't be singing along to these songs. So it's like, I may like this song, you know, like, take it easy. I will sing along to it, but then I kind of catch myself and, you know, you're supposed to be objective. You can't be here humming this like campaign song. I wasn't a big fan of the political songs. The DJ drops as well.
That's only fair.
Good Lord. Because that was so overdone. I was all right, we get it. The hidden points. Like, this is not a fact. Yeah.
Well, I feel like that was a tactic to attract younger people. Because you know the younger people that love a do-down.
Yeah. It was like battle rap in a sense.
It was smart.
Yeah.
It was smart though.
Yeah. But...
that's what the young people like. Yeah. That's what young people want. No, you know?
I love those. There's a TikTok page. I can't remember the name that they have some of those. The jabs during the spot meetings, and they have them clipped, and they will do a clip, and they're like a whole series during the election, and you can go back to them and you just cackle out like yelling. You know, poor James Paul gets he was the first casualty. And that was just overdone. That was the jab of the election season. But yeah, it was interesting to take in the I guess the spectacle of it.
Yeah, for sure.
That's really the best part sometimes.
From everything that everybody is saying, this election is one for the books. It has been a memorable one for all of us for different reasons. But what is one of the major highlights, either from a candidate or from, you know, a person as a voter? What is a major highlight that really stuck out during this entire election season for you guys?
But for me, it was on the day of election. I don't know if you guys saw it.
We saw.
But there was one particular interview that stood out. Oh my God. Okay. So I was just standing with my photographer, Shanice. Shout out to Shanice King. And I saw this lady stopping. I was like, this Shanice, something wrong, and I start running. So she was walking so fast, my long legs running behind. She said, "Ma'am, something happened inside of the voting booth. What happened? Something happened." She was like, "Listen, I come to vote. Yeah, let's just sit to vote." Well, I guess when I explain, you all know what I'm talking about. I could have understood. I kid you not. I could understand everything she was saying in that moment. I guess because I was in front of her and I could see the lips and stuff moving. But when I got back home and I listened back to the interview, it was like, how are you not understand what she was saying? But she was just basically explaining the fact that she went out to vote and they're telling her that her name is not on the voters list.
Right.
And I think that was a major challenge for a lot of people out there that came to vote. And she had the letter that states, come XYZ place to vote. And she went. And she get turned up, but I didn't expect any video to blow up as big. That was memorable for me. I'll just stop here.
What you was with?
But it's with. I guess it's nothing as viral as yours, but in, you know, an election where voter apathy was a major concern. And then the concerns also with the voters list,
mm-hmm.
Where some people were having their names were not there,
yeah.
and they were going to vote at a station that mm-hmm. they voted for most of their life, and then they were being sent somewhere else. But what I found that was very interesting was with the first-time voters,
mm-hmm.
Some who even on the day had no plans to vote,
mm-hmm.
but for some reason they just got up
yeah.
and went to. It's a lot of highlights, but I would say like my personal was in the candidates, the St. Michael Central candidates, Raymond Wiggins
mm-hmm.
from Friends of Democracy. He's one of the first timers also running. Speaking with him on nomination, they had a brief interview
mm-hmm.
and a brief conversation after, and a lot of his ideas I thought were just very refreshing. And he spoke with so much passion and assertiveness. I think he's a candidate to look out for as well.
For sure.
Tyra Trotman. She's someone who, coming in as a young reporter, I did a lot of stories with her the first time when she was with the Young Dems.
Mm-hmm.
And she was one of those early connections that I made. So whenever she had an initiative, she would call me out and tell me, you know, we're doing this, and I would do the story. She was always reachable. So it's very positive to see the growth that she showed as, you know, being with the Dems. She crossed over and now she's a candidate.
Yeah.
So it was, I guess, reflective of also your own path as a journalist that you see all these different things happen. So I was very impressed with the candidates. So I think like interacting with them was the highlight. Andrew Worrell as well. Anthony Hines. So I very enjoyed the time that I spent interviewing the candidates for the St. Michael Central. So that really is a positive for me, like getting more into their insights and how they view their constituency. Yeah.
I didn't have a memorable interaction with the candidates, but one or two of the voters were the first time voters on election day. They were brother and sister. And what I thought was most important was that they said, you know, it was important for them to come out and vote as young people, because you can't just sit down and complain about something mm-hmm. if you don't get up and vote for a change. So
yes.
that was the most memorable
mm-hmm.
voter experience that I had in this campaign election, general election.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, the candidate or candidates that really stood out were the first time candidates, because the nation had a series featuring different first timers. And I really enjoy getting to know them, getting to know their different inspirations, what motivated them to joining the race this time around. The candidate, because the first timer that I interviewed was Ian Griffith. He ran for St. Lucie for the DLP. And he was basically succeeding Alvin Toppin, who passed away last year. So it was just interesting to hear how he has personally picked up that fight from Alvin, continuing on what he has built, but also carving his own path for the people of St. Lucie. So that was definitely something that stood out for me. And I enjoyed all the different first-timers. Dale Rowe, who's another young person. It's really refreshing to see a lot of young people getting more involved in the political arena. It shows that, you know, Barbados has a bright future. I mean, the young people when it comes to politics. And it's going to be exciting to see the next elections with these faces that have now joined, what they will do in the next 5 years or whenever the next election is called. So, yeah, that was definitely a highlight for me in this election season.
I guess, like, final thoughts on it. It was a period that I went into with a bit of, anxiety to it. I wondered how I would fare in it with the times, with, you know, the other juggernauts in the journalist league. But, you know, the journalism is a job where you kind of need your street smarts and you gotta adapt. So the challenge of covering a general election was very fascinating. It's one that I'm very grateful to be able to be a part of, that we were able to record that history and accurately. I Someone who also sees, you know, the duty that we have as journalists to follow up from this and, you know, hold to task the promises that were made, some of the issues heading into it,
mm-hmm.
and I continue that. So I see it as something that helped me appreciate more the tasks that we have. And it's not that the appreciation there was ever lacking,
mm-hmm.
but it's just that every so often you come across a new story or a new thing that you meet that helps you redefine and rekindle that duty that you have and that privilege that you have to be in this position. And I think this is just one of those many other points that help me know what we do really is a honored task, and, you know, grateful to be able to do it and to continue doing it to the best of my ability, and even better than the best of my ability.
I thoroughly enjoyed the process, which I didn't think I would, because in journalism, politics is not my beat at all. I'm more of a entertainment girly.
Mm-hmm.
So I came in to it a bit afraid, because there are a lot of things that just go over my head when it comes to politics, really and truly. But it was really a process that helped me to understand a lot of the things that go on behind the scene. I just enjoyed the experience, from speaking to the candidates, to the voters and potential voters, from before the election to election day to post elections as well. I enjoyed it all. I enjoyed being a part of writing history.
Well, for me, even though it was a roller coaster ride, I enjoyed it. I was anxious at first because I didn't want to mess up anything, and this was my first time. And I felt that I did good as a first timer, and you guys did good as well. I am also thankful for the team that I had on election night, the team from CBC, Starcom, and Barbados Today, because even though, you know, we're from different media houses, they still looked up for me and ensured that I tallied the results correct, and they made sure that I had enough snacks to eat, and it was good to know that I had people looking out for me. It was good to know that I had persons looking out for me, as it was my first time, and I'm just thankful for that experience, and it was a good experience.
Teamwork does make the dream work, and I like the fact now that everybody working together as well. For me, I would say that it don't matter how much years you have in it, you can still get nervous, I believe. For me, I was nervous. I mean, I did the 2022 elections, and going into this one, I was still frightened, especially because we did the Nation and Starcom had a live broadcast. And I had to obviously do live reports, and that was a really good experience. I was so nervous knowing that, you know, you're live and you can't make the mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, that was a challenge, but the results, you know, people came back to me afterwards and was like, yeah, really good. And I was like, if you even know how nervous I was doing it. But I enjoyed the whole experience, and for me, being a journalist during this time, it gave me a love for politics.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't really into it. Like, it to me, it's whoever in, you know, the new thing, everybody to me is do the same thing. So, but I found a love for it, and I just hope that all the promises that were made to the people of Barbados, they accomplish it.
Mm-hmm.
And because for me, it is about the people. What I do for the love of people.
Mm.
And I just want to see that, you know, that things don't be this hard for the people of Barbados.
Well, thank you, Tanisha and Josue, for joining us today for this special edition of Nationwide. And thank you to our viewers for tuning in for another episode. And if you want to check out this episode and more, go to our YouTube, our website, and any platform that you listen to your audio podcasts. Until next time.
Bye.